They tell stories. They will not tell you that peradventure, some struggles he had would not have been necessary if he had waited for the appropriate time. Don't ever forget that. So, my example is, you must do crusade here. I said, listen to me. If as long as you're a student, the primary assignment is what? Book. Read. You are getting my point. Don't say the zeal of God is so powerful inside me. In fact, without me, all these villages are in trouble. Listen, my friend. Preach to the villages during holidays. You hear what I'm saying? When school is not in session, or when your work is not heavy, don't go 1 week to your exam and come be shouting, God of miracle. You know, there are some testimonies I dislike. I so dislike them. Amen? Do you know I didn't come for the exam yet? I had results. You're a thief. If they should have gone to tell the lecturer, excuse me, sir, I wasn't there. If you just go to your house and find a car parked there, will you start driving it? Only. I just get home now. I just see a car in front of my house. I just say, well, you know, I didn't buy a car, but there's a car here. Somebody must hand it to me. And say, sir, we brought this car for you. Then there must be a transaction. If it is free, then I give them a thank you as payment for the car. Not I just enter this thing and say, yeah. You know, I've heard those kind of testimonies. Listen, this is one guy who is never impressed. You understand my point? I am never impressed. I am never impressed with that. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm a goat. I'm very stupid. But during the exam, I came out tops. It's kind of rough. If God is ashamed of such testimonies. This kind of thing he does for you and says, see that you tell no man, because I don't want to. I don't want it on record that I'm the one that did it. I beg. You know, you got some kind of stories. We make church look as if it's a bunch of nincompoops, irresponsible people who don't have any plans in life. They just go, they put their brain on the side and put the spirit inside. I mean, you're going by the spirit. What it means is that they are not dependable. You don't know. The wind blows where it listed. You don't know whether the man will come tomorrow or will not come. I beg, that is not the gospel of Christ. Do you understand my point? Jesus had a plan. He used to plan. The places he wants to go to, he will send his disciples ahead of time. Are you people getting my point? Uh-huh. Thank you, please. Go and tell all your friends who are evangelists on campus that if they like the evangelism so much, they should just leave and go and do it. If they are not going to leave, they must sit down. It is not responsible to miss one lecture. Go to class. Everybody must be there 80% of the time. Show up, minimum of 80. In fact, let your own be known to be 95. What am I saying? During the season of patience, when you have been hidden in the quiver, there is something that God gives you to do that one and do it very well. It takes your mind off the waiting period. For me, it was easy to wait, essentially, because every morning I had work to do. I had a place to go. I wasn't running around praying in tongues. You know, the kind of tongue that the tongue will finish. You go use teeth, pray. When that will finish, use palate, upper palate, lower palate. Use your epiglottis, you pray. You know the reason? You ain't got nothing to do. I have found, anyway, don't let me go into all of that because my theology sometimes can be funny. All the people that God used greatly, how much of that prayer did they do? You know Moses? God interrupted his schedule. No, you know he wasn't praying ahead of time. It was an interruption to his schedule that God, the man was going somewhere. Then suddenly God appeared in a burning bush. I hope you are following the point I'm making here. That each season, there is a season of patience. You have to understand that God has given you something to do in that season. Just do that one. Do it. Life can be easy. Following God can really, really... To other people, it may not appear easy. Because like I told you, where everybody's running up and down, running up looking for money, and they're all driving fine cars, and you don't have. And you go for your fellowship meetings or your Bible studies or whatever your place of your business on Okada. It is not exactly exciting. It's not exactly exciting. But you have recognized that this is not the time to be running up and down like this. This is the time in which I'm supposed to consolidate this. Whether it is learning I'm learning, let me learn it well. Are you getting my point? If it is a book I want to learn, let me learn it well. If the season of book is not the time to be jumping up and down, adding one business to the other. I'm not saying that you can't do things by the side, but they must literally be what? By the side. That is, they take the spare time. You are getting the principle I'm saying here. You understand what I'm saying? So you do those things at that time, but the major assignment God has given you for each is to keep performing it. For me, let me give you my story again. It will help you understand what I'm saying, because it's easier to explain it like that. When I finished youth service, end of 93, I considered the period of youth service a very dry spiritual period, you know, for me. No, not much happening. I don't mean that I wasn't going around preaching. I mean, I wasn't even learning anything. So as soon as I got to Lagos after service, which God arranged in an interesting fashion, what I did was to go everywhere, listen to the gospel. You know, there were those who went everywhere preaching the gospel. I went everywhere listening to the gospel. I was not a Lagos boy, so everywhere I go, just look for address. I used to copy addresses from posters. And I'm going to show the people I was living with. How do I get there? Jump here, jump there, cross here, do there, you will find it. The story I like to tell every time is when, before the late Bishop Alfred Lupita, if he died, I went for that conference he organized in which Ron Kenoly came to preach. I used to get back home at 11 p.m. for a stranger in Lagos, because I was staying in Lubeju and the meetings were holding satellite. They would put all of us for Molue, which he dropped us, I think, in mile 2. They will now look for bus at night, drop for Oshodi, cross that Oshodi zone. They look for, I can't remember whether I tracked it one day from there to Ilupeju where I was staying. We saw those small, small cars, finally get home at 11 o'clock. I went everywhere listening to the gospel. I tried to look for work after some time. The work refused to be found. So till July that year, the following year, I didn't work, I'm telling you. I got a very nice job of driving my cousin around who I was living with. And that had a beautiful advantage. As soon as we are going somewhere, I carry my tapes, put in my pocket. And they say, come and sit down. I say, no, I like the car. I will sit inside the car. No, the example I say, like one day we joined the 4Q. And I finished Wonders of Faith, tape 1, Wonders of Faith, tape 2, by Bishop David Oyedepo. That is inside the hot sun. It was hot. It was afternoon. I refused to come down. Why? Because I had those two tapes. I still have the tapes. I still have them. Those ones I listened to that day, I have them till now. 2 full hours. For me, it was you know, patience is... in between November and I think July, and in less than a year, I listened to Bishop for over 500 hours. No, in 8 months. I'm not joking about that. I've not counted Kenneth Hagin. I've not counted Derek Prince. I've not counted anybody else. Bishop David Oyedepo alone, more than 500 hours. I'm not talking about the books I bought. Nothing. I'm not adding those ones. Just the times I spent on only his own messages. So I realized later that was why God didn't let me take a job. I tried. In fact, at the point that I came to understand that, God said, thank you. You have to keep looking for work so that they won't think you are lazy. So I kept on looking for work, but I never got them. Then one day I said, Lord, I don't try now. Then a friend of mine came. I'm not joking. The very next day, he just appeared. Banky, who's so-and-so place? They're expecting you. Cover them nights. So I got work as a night doctor from July till January when I went to Luth. So my itinerary continued as usual. Morning, I used to wake up in the morning with one full dose. As one, maybe just wake up in the morning, just eat supernatural living, tape 1. Every day. It was a season. Do you get my point? That was why, you know, by the time I finished that season, I was wondering why I wasn't preaching going everywhere, preaching the gospel this time around. At the end of that, nothing. By the time I finished all of that, God just gave me a job as a resident in morbid anatomy in Lute, and I started doing my job as a pathologist in training. But I kept doing that. What I'm bringing up, I'm using to explain something to people, that you have to learn to recognize your seasons. I told you I was trying to say some practical things. One of the ways you recognize your season, because there are generally 2 seasons. There is a season of preparation, and there is a season of glory, or the season of manifestation. Do you understand my point? One of the ways, this is not the only way, God will enlighten the heart of each person. No, this is just by the way. Spiritual things are interesting. Sometimes the fact that you recognize something allows you to identify it anytime. Do you know that? Do you get what I'm trying to say? You don't get the point. That is, if you know that something exists, it makes it easy for you to understand, to recognize. Let me explain what I'm saying. That is the story of a friend of mine. I've told you before. Let me help you to just use it to explain what I'm saying. This guy, he wanted to go abroad, relocate to the UK. And somebody said that, That's very nice. Just make sure it's the will of God. The moment they said that, he realized that he had not considered it in the face of the will of God. He knew it was not. He couldn't explain to anybody, but he just knew it wasn't. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It's important you understand this. So that's why sometimes that's the way the word of God is. Just by merely explaining what I have said so far, you may just recognize your season. Would anybody give you the principles of how to get there? But having said that, there are certain things that might help you understand seasons. Isaiah said, I spent my strength for naught, like King James said, for nothing. He said, because I was hidden in his quiver. Sometimes when things are working not the way you expected it to, or in the, let me say, the pace you expected it to, they are not working like that, then it is possible the season is not yet. Do you hear what I said? Remember where we started from? Mark chapter 4. It said, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows, how he himself does not know. Kingsley, you have the amplifier there. Let me have it, please. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground, 27, and then continues sleeping and rising day and night while the seed sprouts and grows and increases. What I want to emphasize is that word, he continues. Do you get my point? There was a cycle he was in of sleeping and rising. He continued doing that. That's the patient we're talking about. Not bothering himself with the seed, just doing what he was supposed to do at that particular point in time. I'll refer to it again. Let it continue. He said, the soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. And when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Let me quickly explain what I mean by the crop permitting. As a Christian, you have to learn to face challenges and overcome them. Right? But you have to know when you are working against crop that's not permitting. Let me explain. Go to a mango tree. This is a very simple one. Try and pluck whether it's cashew you have around you or guava. The ones that are not ripe are difficult to bring down. What the Bible is saying that they have not yet permitted. In life, you have to learn to understand when crop is what? Permitting. Every time you are struggling and something is not working, you try. They've preached to you about perseverance. Now, let me say, by the way, every message has its own limit too. I have seen people who persevered until they died and got no result. No, it's true. It's not just perseverance. If you persevere long enough, you might get what you are not supposed to get. Listen, in life, you have to learn to recognize the hand of God. When God closes doors, God does not only open doors, he closes doors. Oh. Do you understand my point? So sometimes you are struggling against a door that God has closed. If the Lord has closed the door, leave the door alone. You shove the door. You know, this is how you know. When you anoint the door with oil, it does not open. You plead the blood of Jesus on the door, it doesn't answer. Then you cast out the demon of the lock, it does not open. The Holy Ghost fire, the door doesn't catch fire. Leave that door alone. The person behind, may he not catch you. It is the Lord himself that has locked that door. That kind of, just go away. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? It's important to understand. One of the ways you recognize when crop has not permitted, when you are getting little results with great struggle, it's not yet time. You struggle. You get little result with a lot of struggle. What you need to do is reconsider what you are doing. Go back home. It's so important Christians learn this thing. Simply pray. You say, what that which I see not, teach thou me. Do you get my point? Then it might be that you should still be doing the same thing, but reduce the struggle. You know the interesting part? You will still get the same amount of result. So if that's what you're supposed to be doing, just reduce the struggle. Because when the crop permits, you shake the tree like this, all the mangoes will be raining like rain on top of your head. Breeze will blow, the mango will fall down. The crop itself wants to fall off. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? One thing I learned long ago, I see preachers do that, I don't understand. I have never been able to do it. Somebody say, let me come and preach for you people now. Why? No, no. I'm saying this because there are some young preachers who need to hear it. Don't ever do it. Somebody will ask you to, look, don't let any, don't, in fact, don't even try to preach to somebody who think you can preach. In those days, I used to hear big men of God say that when they are going abroad, some small, small pastors will package their tapes and give to them so that when they get to America or London, they will give to that so they listen to, so that they will say, this guy is hot. They will now invite him. Yeah. The good Lord is very good. I never learned it. Never. He said, look, anybody wants to listen to my message, let him listen because he wants to learn something. Do you get my point? Let him come across it the way God ordained him to come across it. There's a story I will tell to help you understand this crop permitting thing before I close. I've repeated this story a number of times, but still the best to explain this. Ron Kenoly. That conference I was telling you about that happened for the Lopital organized, that I said he taught, I was there. You know the interesting part? The Lord is good. Everybody should just know his assignment in life. Throughout those meetings, all Ron Kenoly ever did was take praise worship sessions. No, there was no microphone saying, amen. The Lord said I should share something about praise. You have to understand worship. Worship comes from the heart. Worship is this. No. When it's time for Ron Kenoly, he just hangs his microphone over his head. And then during the day, he trains with the choir, teaches them. Then at night, they minister. The only time he spoke, like microphone, give a microphone to teach, was during the minister's gathering. That is minister sessions during the day, in the morning. That was the one I went for. Now let me tell you, repeat his story that he told us there, which I have repeated a number of times. After he gave his life to Christ, he used to sing in clubs and all that, do you know, secular music. He now decided he wanted to do gospel music. So he wrote to a lot of Christian recording companies. They all answered him and explained that they were not interested in new recording artists at that point in time, which is usual. That is the truth. Okay? That's the way it is. If you go around begging people, that's the answer they will give you all the time. So he will send demos here, demos there. Nobody answered him. He said one day he now decided that, God, since it is you and I, this is what we don't want to hear. You now, you can't run. You will hear me by force. He said, he told God that you will hear me. If nobody wants to hear me, you must hear. So he was a music pastor in the church. So he went to the church auditorium, took the keyboard, and began to play to only the Lord, nobody else there. He said he played and played and played and sang all the songs in his soul, sang it to God. That's how he was singing until finally he left the keyboard and fell on the floor and continued singing and worshiping and crying and doing everything there. So when he finished, let me use my own words, he was ventilated. He's not told the Lord, henceforth, I'm not singing for anybody. I'm just going to continue my job of directing the choir in this church and leading praise worship every Sunday. That's the only job. I'm going to continue doing it. I'm talking about patience. God gives you something for each season. And he started doing that. I don't know how long he did it. But one day, I think Don Moen came for the service. The same Don Moen that you know, I think it's Michael Coleman and Don Moen. Either Don Moen or Michael Coleman. I can't remember exactly which one of the two of them. Came for that person came to that church for something. He didn't know about any Ron Kenoly. He didn't know what was happening with one guy who was singing to the Lord. He didn't know. He was just in the service. And the praise worship to him was so powerful and the person leading so anointed that at the end of the service, the guy went to him, introduced himself. Hello, my name is Don Moen. He brought out his card. This is my card. Please, I want you to pray about recording with us. Did you hear what I said? All the demos been sending. This one, the leading Christian recording outfit on earth, the director came to him and said, please, go and pray whether you will be willing to come and record with us. Crop permitting. He said that was one thing I never had to pray about. Pray? I did all the praying long ago, sir. the answer is yes, yes, yes. Right now, then they did Jesus is alive. After Jesus is alive, they did lift him up. By the time he was telling us that story, he said before he left the U.S., Lift Him Up at that time had been declared the best-selling praise and worship album ever produced on the planet Earth. You know, Jesus is alive, sold because of Lift Him Up. I was among those who bought Jesus because they said, he didn't want before. Jesus is alive. Where is it? Where is it? We started buying it on top of it. You know people who bought lift him up? Everybody. Agbero bought. Pastors bought. Choir members bought. I'm sure fella bought. In all kinds of people bought lift him up. You know that? In fact, the first we knew was the video. The video, if you brought the video, people will mob you, queuing up to watch it. Then we saw, of course, after buying the tapes, then finally we saw the CDs. Then when CDs were costly, I had to buy Lift Him Up now. The CD was costly, but how can you exist and you don't have a copy of Lift Him Up? Why? Because the crop permitted and the man put in the sickle because the harvest had come. Do you get my point? Now, I've told a lot of stories. It will help you understand because I don't know how to explain this thing more. That each person, you have to learn to recognize your season. There is a place in life. There's something I explained before. Let me just quickly say it again. In life, there are things that move you. We read from Isaiah chapter 40. Don't let's bother opening to it again because of time. It said, if you want the glory of God to be revealed, remove the mountains, bring up the valleys, make an expressway for the Lord in the wilderness. The first thing you must tackle in your life is to check your motivation. And I feel like sounding that one very strongly to Christians. Because we live in the world, especially in our country today, where paramount amongst motivations of men is the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. There's the lust of the flesh. But most important amongst motivations in men is the pride of life. What did I not hear? Those days. People that your friends have gone abroad, those days when we're earning 6,000 naira a month, start a residency on 5,000. You say your friends have gone abroad. People start telling you a story. This other guy, that your cousin, he did this one. He bought his father a Mercedes Benz, built a house for his mother. Oh boy, on my 5K a month, I ain't buying anybody a car, I ain't building a house for anybody. But that 5,000 naira, we share it to as God demands. If it is church, we give church his portion. If it is Deji here, Deji got his portion. No, everybody did. That's why he said that, look, if once it's half of the month, in fact, once you don't tell me if I'm paid salaries, I don't have money for it. I didn't have any compunction about telling you no. I don't have money. There's no big deal about it. One day I went to a church. They were raising 100 million naira to build building. My own offering towards 100 million naira was 500 naira. And I didn't, look, it's you God told that you should build for 100 million. As for me, God gave me 5,000 naira salary. And only you cannot collect more than 500 naira. Now only you, think you're the only one I give to? No, that's how my life be. You're not the only one I'm going to give money to. So your vision is your problem. You get my point? Sometimes I look at pastors trying to make it look like the vision is not moving forward because of you people. I say, oh boy, it is you God showed vision, not me. I am not responsible for the harvest. I put my own seed inside. If you gather enough, you have enough. I still remember very well, 100 and something thousand, something million. Banky's offering towards the 100 million was 500 naira. It's true. In all of this, look, minus the money I used to eat, how much used to get remain in my own pocket? And as for me, I always used to say it. I didn't have a car, I trekked with pride. There was no big deal. Look, do you get my point? Ask my wife, yeah. She told me one day, this man, you are too full of yourself. A great man of God. If I shook your hand, I felt you should be happy. You know why? Because I was so sure, and I'm still sure, you will tell stories about that handshake. See, this guy, I met him one day. I went to visit this person. It is him. Yes, it is him. You've heard me say it before. When Archbishop Benson Daosa died, I went for the funeral. Is it my personal friend? No. It was a prophetic visit. I said, great men have come. One has gone now. I said, let me come for the funeral as a sign of what I know my own life is going to be greater than. I saw cars coming from neighboring African countries that overtook on the way when I was going to be in for that same funeral. So I said, great man. Men of like passion, you know, my type. It's true. No. As for, you remember that time, that's my scripture had jumped to me. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I'm telling you, my shoulder was never lower than this. No, I didn't. Look, until now, my attitude towards life didn't start today. It has always been like this. Somebody told me some time ago. No, I was talking to somebody. He said, I said, I need a break. He said, you want to go abroad? I said, no. He said, why not? I said, because I don't have money for such things. Just take, go abroad now to go and flinch. I said, no. It's not bad, but I said, right now, I can't afford it. And I said, I'm sure you have money. I said, what gives that impression? He said, you told your wife not to work. And I didn't know this person much. Somebody just say, So my wife not working. It means I have plenty of money. I said, look, it's not a matter of money. So she was doing a job where the Bible says it is vain to do. Wake up early and retire late. I need the bread of painful labors. I said, no, it has nothing to do with money. I've learned long ago how to cut my coat according to the present amount of cloth that God has delivered through Angel Gabriel. Do you understand what I'm going to say? If Gabriel bring 2 yards, I no go so suit, I go so monkey jacket. You know what they call? Monkey coat. You get my point? If Gabriel brings maybe 6 yards, then we'll sew better three-piece suit. That's true. I know that's how I've always been. So it's not like it is now. I'm not changing my... I tell you that the time I started professing faith in this country, I couldn't buy myself anything decent with money. But then I knew that scripture has been there. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I told people then, look, I can't die before it happens. So people are rushing. You see, there's money here. I say, I'm not going. Yeah, lest I die in the process. This one, I will stay here. In fact, when you are discouraged and but that is not happening, you take a book and read it. When revelation hits you, you are encouraged again. You understand my point? Take Isaiah chapter 49, read it again. Say, right now, I'm in his quiver. Look, believe me, I feel so strongly about it. God is drawing the bow. I'm about to be released. Do you get my point? That is what my talk won't change that time. It is still the same thing I was saying when I was being paid 6,000 naira a month. The same thing I was saying when I would be broke at the second week of a month. The same thing I was saying. Remember the day I told my friend, please, come on. Somebody begged me to help him cover his clinic where he was working. I didn't like going out, especially clinical practice. I said I didn't like. He begged me that he was desperate. So I accepted to go for 3 hours. I asked a friend of mine that, why don't you go? There's money to be made here. To tell you the kind of pay we're having there. The guy was going to pay 250 naira for those 3 hours. My friend said, give me 150 now and I will go. That I will not wait for 250 that I will get in 3 weeks' time. That give me 150 naira now, I'm on the way to the clinic. This guy I'm talking about today is currently a neurosurgeon. He was training in neurosurgery. When the gist I'm telling you now. Yeah, the guy said, give me 150 now. And I'm on my way to do a 3-hour consultation for you. But at that time, I had read, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I said, no, I won't die before it happens. That anybody can shout what they like about 2007. For the sake of Banky alone, this country will remain rock solid and prosper yet abundantly. I'm telling you. Hey God, if you want to wreck anything, you will wreck it in 80 years' time. Not now. It's true. You want to judge people? Suspend their judgment for 80 years. Then, I knew this is the season to do this. The time of harvest doesn't need begging. Do you get my point? Things should just start cooperating. You know, you are sitting there, somebody just comes and says, look, this is what we need to do. Somebody told us 6 years ago that you are the man of integrity for now. What is the deal? $10 million. What is my fee? 5%. And the same thing you did last week that earned you 5,000 naira, you are not exerting more energy. Kingsley, you know to draw contract between two guys over 50,000 naira is the same amount of headache as to draw for $50 million. And if you are paid according to the magnitude of the cash involved, you know the difference. I see some men. I said, these are people that God really has blessed. Everybody is doing one kind of job. They are running up and down. These men do exactly the same jobs, except that they settle quarrel between ExxonMobil and communities. So after settling a quarrel between ExxonMobil and communities, what happens next? You pay the guy off $5 million for the job he did in about 4 weeks. You get my point? Meanwhile, you've been settling quarrel between you and your neighbor. Nobody gave you anything. Even to an arbitration for every heaven. When the crop permits, then he will put in the sequel. You know, remember the story I told you before? That when you see prayer for Jabez, there's prayer of Jabez. Then when Bruce Wilkerson sees, is it Wilkinson or Wilkerson now? They see that prayer of Jabez has sold. Then it's not him, it's the publisher. They'll come and say, Bruce, let us do prayer of Jabez for women. Then they will do prayer of Jabez for women. Then they will say, prayer of Jabez workbook. Then prayer of Jabez devotional. Prayer of Jabez for teenagers going through the struggles of life. I said, don't be angry. It's called putting in the sequel. The harvest has come. Do you get my point? I've not made all my points, but let's see whether we can stop here because I do not want us to stay beyond now. The Lord is good. If you believe that, shout a very loud amen.